Welcome to the Thursday, December 17th regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. Could we have a roll call, please?
We can't hear you, Joel.
Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Kudart?
Director Cecilia, Director Kelly.
Here.
Director Sennett.
Here.
Vice President Ohilski.
Present.
President Sparks.
Here. Thank you for coming tonight. And first, we're going to have a report out of closed session from Mr. Seitz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 o'clock, being absent, agreed to a tentative settlement with Montgomery Watson Harza, subject to Montgomery Watson Harza signing the agreement. We have received a signed agreement from Montgomery Watson Harza. The president has signed the agreement. The basis of the agreement is simply Montgomery Watson Harza drops all litigation against the district, and the district returns a letter to the construction. To the Construction Management Association, withdrawing our complaint against Montgomery Watson Harza. This agreement requires the approval of the bankruptcy court. And copies of the agreement are on the back table back there. So if you want to, I don't know if I have copies for everybody, but there are some copies that are back there. As to the taxpayers watch et al. Versus the Los Osos Community Service District, we have entered into a settlement agreement with taxpayers watch related to this agreement. This agreement was also tentatively approved at the last board meeting on a 3-1 vote, with Director Cecilia voting no and Director Sennett being absent. This is the Measure B litigation. President Sparks has signed that agreement. The basis of the agreement is the district will dismiss its appeal of the Measure B litigation. Taxpayers watch in substance will dismiss their creditors' claims in bankruptcy and their claims for attorney's fees as to the district as a result of that litigation. And the settlement agreement also contains a clause that each party disputes the validity of the other party's claims related to Measure B. Again, a full copy of several copies of the settlement agreement are at the back table. Moving on, we did discuss at some length the ongoing bankruptcy case. I will tell you that there is a hearing currently set as part of the public record on February 18, 2010, where the contractors and creditors in that bankruptcy are seeking to et al. This is the ongoing groundwater adjudication, commonly sometimes known as the ISJ. I can report back to you very briefly that the basin management plan is in progress, and we expect to have the peer review on the Cleith work sometime to mid-late February. And, of course, there will be a public presentation when that is available. As to taxpayers watch versus the LOCSD et al., this is the second taxpayers watch litigation. I want to announce first that Director Cecilia is absent here today. Director Sennett did declare a conflict of interest because settlement of that litigation will affect his personal interest in that litigation. On that basis, he declared a conflict of interest and did not participate in the discussions regarding that litigation. The board did hear an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. And then we really did not get to the last two cases at all that are listed on the agenda. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Yeah, just we will be going back in the closed session on the last two items. And with that, we're going to go ahead and to begin with, before we get to the general meeting. We have some presentations, and then we have our auditor here to present the fiscal year 08-09 audit. But before we do that, I'd like to present some certificates and show our appreciation. We have four employees in our water utilities department, and I want to acknowledge their efforts as they've achieved the Grade 3 Water Distribution Operator Certification. These are really dedicated employees. They've taken classes on their own time, personal time. This is Travis Tutt, Frank Asuncion, Robert Demel, and Rumo Florentino. And by doing this, they meet the requirements of the State Department of Public Health and achieve the highest water distribution rating attainable for our water system. In order to be eligible for the certification as the D3 operator, these applicants have to pass a statewide grade D3 operator examination and obtain 1 year experience working as a certified D2 operator and participate in the 24 hours of required coursework. And so this... And the next one is to Mr. Robert Demel. Next, Mr. Rumo Florentino. And the last one, to Travis Tutt. Again, thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated. Now, next we have, for another one of our water operators, we have a proclamation of appreciation. This is for Bill Jocko Sweet, and I'm going to read it here. And he's okay, so come on up, Jocko. Come on up, Jocko. You're down there. Jocko, whereas after successfully exploring a variety of employment, including the operation of your own business enterprise, Jocko's Woodworking, remember that everybody, Bill Jocko Sweet joined the Los Osos Community Service District as a water resources operator on May 19, 2003. Whereas Jocko used his woodworking expertise to the district's advantage by constructing fixtures used by the utility crew at various facilities, building a float for the community's Christmas parade, re-roofing all the well houses, building a short storage shed, fabricating a 70-foot-long wall made from railroad ties, rebuilding all the clay valves for the backwash tanks at the South Bay Well, and handling the utility department played a significant role in the successful completion of a massive renovation of the district's water system with money obtained through the I-Bank. Jocko Sweet addressed his duties and responsibilities in a professional manner, always maintaining his humor, answering emergency calls in the middle of the night and beyond, involving mainline emergencies, working long hours through those emergencies, always ready with a kind word, never at a loss with an opinion about any assignment, and has proven... Did you write this, Jocko? And has proven himself to be a very reliable, genuine person. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Service District that William Jocko Sweet is commended for his efforts and accomplishments on behalf of the citizens of the community of Los Osos, and further be it resolved that Jocko Sweet is wished the best of health and happiness in his retirement and success in all his future endeavors. Jocko, we're going to miss you, and we appreciate all that you've done, and we wish you well in your retirement, and stay in touch. Thank you.
I only want to say that 365 days a year, these guys, one of them, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, is out there taking care of business, making sure everything runs well. And I will miss them.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate that. And now to the presentation of our fiscal year 08-09 audit. And we have our Bakersfield firm of Brown and Armstrong here tonight present the final audit. And just as a matter of background, I want to thank Ampi for all her work in doing this, as well as Mitch and then Dan. We had the draft audit that they prepared in mid-November. Our finance committee reviewed it.
It was the result of the 2009 audit for the district. I will briefly discuss the audit reports we issued and any issues we might have during the audit process. We have issued independent auditor's report on the district's basic financial statements, which we granted a clean opinion, or we call it an unqualified opinion. We also provided a report on the district's internal controls over the financial reporting and on compliance and other matters, which we granted a qualified opinion due to a few findings that we determined to be significant deficiencies in the district's internal controls. We also attached a schedule of findings to the audit report. And this year, I have to stress, even though we still have findings, however, compared to last year's audit, the number of findings has reduced from 7 to 3 findings, just 3 findings this year. And these 3 findings are repeat findings from prior years, which the districts just doesn't have the resources or time to resolve them. So, and managements of the districts are still working on them, and we got plans to hopefully resolve them in the near future. And last, I would like to discuss with you some required audit communications. There were no sensitive estimates affecting the district's financial statements. We did not propose any audit adjustments during our audit, and we did not have disagreements with management. We did not consult with other accounting firm during the audit, and none of our responses to the district's management became a condition to our retention. And we encountered no difficulties in dealing with management in performing our audit. So this pretty much concludes my presentation here. I'm now open for any questions you may have.
Okay, before we open it up to questions from the public, do we have any questions from the board? Okay, and with that, please come to the podium and we'll begin. Okay, seeing none, this is a first. We don't know quite what to do. We're going to close public. Boy, it's always a good drive from Bakersfield to the coast this time of year. With that, we'll close comment. Again, thank you for coming tonight, and Zen, and appreciate your audit work, and again, turning this around so fast after the prior one. And also, I think this is a good thing because our previous audits were coming, we were getting to them in March and closing them out in April and May the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, I have to say that the main reason we can turn it around so quickly is due to hard work of MP and the district's management.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. And so it's good we've got this done before the end of the calendar year, about 5 months earlier than we've been doing. So we really appreciate that. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Let you off easy tonight.
Thank you for sharing.
Sure. You're welcome.
And with that, we're going to go ahead to general public comment. And why don't we wait about a half a minute, just let there are people leaving. Okay, we'll go ahead and take general public comment. And
Leon Golden, Los Osos. At the last meeting, and I could be wrong about it having been at the last meeting because it's been a while since we had a meeting here, some speakers had the audacity to come to this microphone and to say some what appear to be critical things about our representation at RAC. Now, I noticed that there was a minutes of RAC on the back, and I don't quite understand where it fits in with tonight's meeting, but perhaps if I wait long enough, I'll find out. We're not in attendance at the meeting which the folks who were critical of the activities of our representatives were present, but nobody takes the time to find out what really happened. Not a democratic process. And I think that you really need to examine if your statements that you're looking for help from the community by encouraging public comment, that you should take that public comment seriously and deal with it in a serious manner. The other thing I want to mention, while this is not, and this, Joe, you may call me out of order on this, but I'm going to proceed and see what happens. The agenda. We have an item on the agenda. And if this were not the first time that things get pushed to the bottom of the calendar, I wouldn't be up here talking about it. But it happens constantly. Probably, in my judgment, the most important thing on this agenda is the water rate. Most important to the people who live in the district. That should have been up in front and dealt with before everyone's gone to sleep. And I am led to believe, and perhaps erroneously, that this is the agenda is set only by the president and the rest do not have anything to say about it. And I think that you need to revisit that issue if that is the case.
Mr. Golden, thank you for your comments.
Yeah, I think I've made my point. Points, actually.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a brief comment. The agenda is set by the president in coordination with the general manager. These are the bylaws of the district, and that's been the bylaws of the district multiple boards ago. And again, during the annual year, we'll review the bylaws. We could certainly consider setting the agenda, but setting the agenda as a practical matter would be difficult for a board to do it. So with that, next speaker, please.
Frank Salio, Los Osos. I'm going to do some clarification on language and do some follow-up on Mr. Goldman's comments. When I hear the word, we're here to do the business of the district, I always kind of see a build-in, cars, trucks, backhoes, pumps, dentists. So I hope you keep that one in mind. Also, I've heard through the years, it's not only last meeting, it was, I guess since this board was came about in 1999, sometimes the word civility comes in, or the comments of the public being critical. I believe when all of you took office, you swore an oath to uphold the laws. And there's the law about the First Amendment. And in that First Amendment gives the public the right to to make comments, to say that they don't agree with your policies, say, and be critical of your policies. There have been times when this issue has been written up by several boards. Lenthal versus Vista Unified School District. They had one there that you couldn't criticize the board. That was one part. It was struck down by the federal courts. Also, Bach versus School Board, City of Virginia Beach in 201. Also, they wrote up about criticizing board members, and it was struck down by the federal courts under free speech. There's a difference between the public saying, I don't agree with what you're doing or how you're doing it, and you have the right at the same time to say, you know, that's not correct, this is what happened. But to sit there and tell the community that they're not being civil in their interaction with people, with you as a board, I find it kind of violates to me their rights to sit here and say, you know, I really don't like the job you guys are doing. And these are the reasons why I don't like it. And some people have a strong tone to it, and that's I believe they're still right. They're not using threats and they're not using profanity, but they're sitting there criticizing. And you do have a right to respond in a way that corrects the public's perception of what you're doing or not doing. So I hope that we can drop that civility and comment on the way that the public presents to you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, and happy holidays to everybody. I wanted to bring up something that has been bothering me, and I guess I think it's the lack of information that's going out to our community about the progress of the wastewater endeavors and where we're at. The Tribune has failed to cover any information. The county has failed to mail any information or do any community service updates. So I want a little history is that our prior CSD was on the way in every step of the way. Well, they were pretty much kept out of it completely until the recent election of Maria and Marshall Ohelski, who are very supportive of the county's process. They're also very supportive of what the county's come up with. And at this point, there are 22 appeals against this. The Planning Commission had to actually, this is such a flawed process, and I think the community needs to know what's been going on, and they don't. Unfortunately, it's, like I said, it's getting no coverage, there is no information. But we're looking at 22 different appeals at this point, going to the Coastal Commission. There were, I think, 17 appeals to the Board of Supervisors. The problem is the proposal that they have is not getting compared. We're going to compare gravity with gravity, and in the end, Montgomery Watson will get the project. We're not looking at the step design, which was promised all the way along, and that's one of the major parts of the appeal, that the appeals that are coming forward. So I do hope that there's some way that even our community services district could request that the information go out to our community. We're talking about millions of dollars that were proposed to educate our community and bring us along and have workshops. Well, for 1 year, we've had absolutely zero information. And I think that's a discredit to the county 100%. And I think our board, if you want to do something to get a fair process and that competition back, you need to get forward with this community and the county and make sure that the information is spread around. Basically, I also feel that, I'll leave it at that. I think we're headed towards the same project we had before in a better location, but we're looking at $300 a month.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening and happy holidays. I'm Julie Tacker. I concur with Leon Golden's comments. And actually, after that meeting, last meeting, I sent an email to the board sort of expressing similar concerns. And what you do as our representatives is fair game for criticism. And that's what we did. That's what I did at the previous board meeting. I did get a response from one director, Vice President Ohelski, and he continued to say that personal attacks and threats were unacceptable. Well, and I have to say that whether you agree with Ms. Christie or not, she brought to the table what no other commissioner has, certainly over the course of some many years that I have been a board watcher. Very educated, very astute, politically savvy, and she'll be missed. I think this community owes her a debt of gratitude in her handling of the wastewater project, and again, she will be sorely missed. Earlier this evening, I appeared before your board in the closed session public comment, and I brought to your attention that the amended language for Condition 97 is estimated, well, the language was amended, but not a part that you should be concerned about, and we all should be concerned about, and that is that the language says that not less than 10% of the total volume of treated effluent should go to environmental and ag. 10 and 10 is 20%. Of 1 million gallons of wastewater treated every day, that's 200,000 gallons at a minimum that is to be taken by ag and by environmental, and those topics have not been identified. I was aghast to find out that, again, Director Ohilski supports that language, whether the board does or not, and I think his constituents should know that he does support wasting some 200,000 gallons of water.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I came to give a wrap-up on the fourth annual Needs and Wishes fundraiser held here Saturday. First of all, I want to thank all of the volunteers who stood behind bake sale tables, gift certificate tables, hour on hour on hour, behind the raffle table, behind the hamburger and hot dog table, the raffle, the craft boutique in the back, the Toys Los Osos, 93412. Again, box 6721, Los Osos, 93412. The weather was bad. The hamburgers didn't get served till after 1:30 because of a grill not showing up on time, but we've already got somebody who's going to correct that next year. So we will have hot food from about 11 on next year. But other than that, I think it ran pretty smooth. The two coin jugs that were presented on stage to Supervisor Gibson and to Dee Torres, Director of Homeless Services, from the Coast Union Interact Club were counted on Monday. The total from those two jugs was $1,397.19 collected in 8 weeks. Pretty impressive. Now, for the question my phone has been ringing off the hook about. Last year's total was $38,236. There's still maybe a half a dozen silent auction items to be picked up and a couple checks that are coming in the mail that we know of. But at this point, we're over $45,000 and approaching $46,000. So even though the economy is down, there are hard times for many. Generosity in this community and this county is up for those in need. And I'll just leave you with this. You know, as we're enjoying the holidays, remember how fortunate we actually are. Keep that in your mind. Other than that, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Markinson, and I don't see Jerry Walsh here, and thank her as co-organizer for running the event. And next year, we'll get over 50,000.
That's the goal.
Thank you very much. Any additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close general public comment, and we'll go to the administrative and committee reports. And the first one, Decal Fire. Is Mr. Benares?
I share. I don't share waves, but I share.
Thank you. Mr. President, appreciate the opportunity once again to appear tonight. You have before assist the full-time staff at the station. There was a number of training going on there, and I can say that item three, the five new South Bay reserves, of that, several have already graduated and are getting very close to becoming qualified to cover shifts as we speak. The remaining one will continue with their training. As we move on to the next page, we had a number of open public events, including the open house, which Mr. Helsky helped us attend. We attended Oktoberfest and did some stuff down at Monarch Grove, as well as the Fall Carnival at Baywood Elementary. I have a couple other things I wanted to hit as well tonight. We are currently in the middle of Operation Santa Claus in conjunction with the San Luis County Child Protective Services. We had a bucket down there, and we appreciate Mr. Markison allowing us to participate with the fundraiser here the other night, and we did very well. We appreciate the support of the public. That bucket is up there, and we'll continue to accept presents, unwrapped presents for kids. Remember, those go to Child Protective Services, and those that are donated after the holidays will then be used for birthday presents throughout the remainder of the year. At Station 15 or any other CAL FIRE station, those can be dropped off. A couple other things we're doing. Right now, we are in the middle of delivering smoke detectors and AA batteries to a number of our key sources or our key points there. Specifically right now, the mobile home parks, and so there are flyers in the back. These smoke detectors were donated through private donations, the Employees Association, and then through a charitable contribution from Miners Ace Hardware. So I'd like to thank Miners Ace Hardware. So if there are members of mobile home parks in the community, we'll be at Sea Oaks Mobile Home Park on the 17th. We'll be at the Sunny Oaks on the 19th. And we'll be at Baywood Mobile Home Park on the 21st of this month. Mobile Shores Mobile Home Park. I'll start over again. Morrow Shores Mobile Home Park is yet to be scheduled. We've had a scheduling conflict. We have been in two of them already, and giving out quite a few smoke detectors, as well as just checking them, making sure they're in good shape, and replacing AA batteries, which we obtained through a grant at the fire station. So if you need a smoke detector or want to check to make sure it's good working condition, please call the station at 528-1053, and we'd be happy to come out and give you a hand. Some large stuff to get chipped. You can contact Solid Waste through Ann, and we'll be able to get that in later in May. So we want to thank and give our appreciation to the Los Osos Focus Group as well. This is a period when there's lots of candles out there. As I said, 2 months ago, we've had a number of candle fires already in San Luis Obispo County. And so I just want to strongly encourage people to use candles wisely. Don't leave them unattended with animals or small children. And make sure they're on a piece of a plate or metal. Finally, the Emergency Services Committee did not meet this month, but will meet on the 15th of January at the fire station. As always, 5:30 p.m., we'll be entering the, as you're well aware and already planning, we'll be entering the recruitment period for new members, and so I encourage folks to, if they're interested in the Emergency Services Committee, to stop by that night and assist us. The agenda has already been set. There's a couple items on there with a good agenda for the 16th of February, and so I want to get that on the calendar right now for folks. We believe the 16th of February, same time, 5:30 at the fire station, we'll have a presentation from San Luis Ambulance regarding bringing an ambulance into Los Osos. So I want to make sure that's got plenty of notice on that. Is there any questions on anything I've talked about tonight or my staff note?
Looks like none. And again, could you remind people with after Christmas, the Christmas trees, and get them cut up and disposed of as soon as possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're very flammable. They've sat in your hot house for a month. And if you're not filling them up, they're drying out. So you can cut them out, put them on the sidewalk. They will be hauled off. It's better to do that than to put them up in the reserve somewhere and let them sit. So,
thank you, Mr. Benares. And to allow Mr. Benares to go, do we have any? Will we need Mr. Benares for any other items tonight? I don't think so. Is there any member of the public that has a question for Mr. Benares? If so, I'll allow it now, if you could come up to the podium. Thank you for your comment.
That's quick. Just a quick comment to get clarification. When you go into the mobile homes and you provide the smoke...
past our... changed every 10 years, and so we'll bring a smoke detector in. Oftentimes, what we've seen is it's just the double A's that need to be replaced, and so we're replacing that. If the smoke detector is in need of replacement, the homeowner will give them that, and the homeowner can either replace it themselves, or if they're not comfortable with that, if they sign the waiver, we will pull it off, replace it. Oftentimes, because we've been using the same smoke detectors from miners, they'll go right back into the existing fitting, and there's no holes drilled. If there is a need for that, and they sign the waiver, we'll go ahead and place it, hopefully on a wall at a high spot, not in a mobile home roof.
Thank you, Mr. Benares. Thank you for the comment. Director Senna.
Well, you mentioned AA batteries. Do they take 9 volt or AA? 9 volt.
9 volt, okay. Of course.
Okay.
I don't know why I would say AA. 9 volt, and we did get a grant for that through EverReady, so that is a same grant we've gotten the last couple of years. Are very, very good with their batteries. Thank you.
Okay, next we'll have the district utilities report. Ms. Faulkner.
Good evening, President Sparks and board and members of the public and staff here. My name is Margaret. I'm the utilities supervisor, and I'm here to report on the utilities department. For the month of October, we had 24 million gallons in production, and this was down from last year where we had 26 million gallons. Our water billing cycle went from September 11th through November 10th, and this is only 43% of the district, the service areas. And the total consumption during this period was 16,878,700 gallons, with revenues of 110,000. So I also made a little note on the last report. There was errors because we were checking the figures because we had new software and wanted to make sure everything was right. So the new numbers are in the tables and graphs. So also, as far as the public health compliance, we filed our October report and everything was fine. And we had a water conservation group meeting, and there's a new state water efficient landscape model ordinance out there, and I've turned the information over to our general manager for comment to the county because they are the ones who have the land use authority here. Wastewater, and we had our semi-annual report that was filed for both subdivisions, Vista de Oro and Bay. Pump stations are great, and I have to give a lot of credit to the crew who's going out and being proactive before the rains and cleaning up debris, and it helps a lot. Also, the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we received a grant for $3,495 in their public education and outreach, and we'll be able to start making the little Sammy Steelhead board game to take to the events. And also, on November 4th, I attended a really interesting event that was presented at the Morro Bay Museum History, And it was by the Sea Life Conservation and Sea Studios Foundation and assisted by Morro Bay National History Program. And what they do is they focus mainly on all the trash that's out there and getting into our seas and trying to get the message out, get people involved to encourage them, especially businesses, not to use or to reduce their use in plastics. And I went ahead and put in here for your reading a draft ordinance by Monterey, and it has to do with the trying to get the restaurants, especially the takeouts, not to use that polystyrene that gets into the waterways. And I could see how it could tie into our stormwater management program, but I left it for you to read. So anyway, I encourage everyone to ask me any questions that they have on this or any other things on the agenda, and that's my report for the Utilities Department.
Thank you, Ms. Faulkner. Any questions from the board? Director Sennett?
Was the county present at this, and did they receive a comment on the draft model ordinance regarding the plastics?
I don't recall anyone from the county being there, so that's something maybe you could look into.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Faulkner, and also thank you for your help with the water subcommittee as well.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And next, the District Administration Department report. Ms. Woods?
Good evening. I'm Sandy Woods, Administrative Supervisor, Honorable Board, Staff, and Pub. Development of a record retention schedule. It still continues, and I plan to have that written recommendation to Dan Gilmore, General Manager, for review by the end of the year. And then thanks to Mitch, Interim General Manager, and a generous gift from him and donations from employees. We held a retirement and Christmas celebration during our lunchtime on December the 3rd. William Jocko Sweet elected to take early retirement, and we celebrated his 6 years with the district, and his hard work and smile will be missed. One of our employees was involved in a rear-end accident in their personal vehicle when they were going to the post office to pick up the district mail. We sent the employee to the appropriate medical facility according to our work comp policy, and they were checked out and released without injury. We had researched in the past about replacing our photocopy machine because it was giving us some problems, and we determined that it wouldn't be worthwhile or financially feasible at this time. But it did give us a few problems, and it was down for, off and on, it totaled 34 and a half hours in November. So after speaking with the customer service representative, we were granted 1 month free maintenance or service, which is a value of $275, and we had the maintenance supervisor, not just the person who had been servicing it, come out and check out the machine and do a thorough mechanical examination. It seems to be working well, but we are tracking how it works, and if it continues to be a problem, they will replace it. As administrative supervisor, I want to end the year with taking this opportunity to personally acknowledge Ampi Haber, Mitch Cooney, Jan Harper, and Ann Kudart. They're a member of the administrative staff, for professional attitude, strong pride and work ethic throughout this past year. We've had a lot of growing pains, but I really look forward to 2010 and the end of 2009. May we continue to serve the community of Los Osos with pride and professionalism that we have in the past. Any questions from the board or the public?
Next will be our general manager report. His very first.
Yeah. Thank you, President Sparks, members of the board, staff, and the public. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to mention that we've been looking at some of the repairs needed at the fire station. There had been some plans prepared by the district's engineer for the replacement or replacement of the slab behind the station. There's a drain line as part of that slab, and then there's also some damage to the driveway that needs to be repaired. We've looked at alternatives relative to taking those projects individually and dealing with them separately, perhaps to try to streamline the process. Clearly, the driveway can be handled separate from the replacement of the concrete slab, but the presence of the drain and the fact that that area is used for washing the fire trucks requires a little more study. The plans from not so much an in-depth study, but some additional consideration. The plans from the Wallace Group show the existing drain line tying into a point just at the edge of the slab, and we know that that drain line has failed. It's not draining anything. But because they do use that area for washing engines, I think that something needs to be done to prevent that from just running down the street. And obviously there's runoff issues with that. And so we're going to look at that a little bit more. And once a proper solution has been determined, we'll move that forward. One of the first things I became aware of when I became general manager was the issue with the Carrillo Lighting District and the trouble that, well, the issues with the revenues not matching the expenses in providing that lighting. Did a little bit of research. I know that some other people have looked at it already, and the possibility of using a replacement fixture that's an LED light looks promising. That technology is changing all the time. There have been some huge advances more recently, and what probably may not have been feasible 6 months or a year ago is looking like it may be at that point now. And as I said, the technology continues to improve. One of the problems is that PG&E doesn't have a rate structure for those, or the ability to just go out and swap those out, primarily because of the need to generate a rate structure in order to do that. And the good news is they are looking at that. And I was told that by the end of the year, which is rapidly approaching, that they should have help with the situation up there. I also want to remind the board that in January, the board will be reorganizing and appointing a new president and vice president. This will also be a good time to commit to director office hours for meeting with the public. Also, new committee appointments will take place soon after that, and any members of the public that are interested in serving on any of the district's advisory committees can pick up an application at the district office. We've brought some of the applications that are on the table in the back for anyone here that's interested in picking up an application, and we will hope to have some available at the January 7th meeting as well. And as part of my manager report, I wanted to just let everyone know that I am getting settled in. As being new to the position, I've had an opportunity to meet with several members of the public, and I've had especially a particular pleasure working very closely with the water rate subcommittee as we develop the new water rate structure, which we'll hear more about in a minute. I'm really happy and encouraged to know that there's not only a wealth of expertise available in the community, but a spirit and a willingness to volunteer and get involved in the political process. I'm feeling right at home as the district's new general manager, and I believe we're heading in a very positive direction. And then finally, one other thing, it's not in my written report, but something I wanted to mention. We got a postcard save the date that on May 11th and 12th, the California Special Districts Association will have their special districts legislative days, which is kind of like a conference for special districts. And that'll be located up in Sacramento. And any directors that are interested in going, I'll be attending, and it should be very informative. With that, we can answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any director questions? Again, yeah, reiterate on the committees as we're going to the new year that we do have applications available, and I suspect we'll take them sometime towards the end of January as we'll want to have the new committees meet no later than the March period. So anyone interested in serving on them, we do appreciate all the efforts that we get from our volunteers, and we've had good committees this year, and we appreciate those volunteers. Okay, for director reports on the advisory committees. Want to start it off? Director Kelly?
The water advisor submitted a formal report on that event.
Thank you, Director Kelly. Vice President Hilsky.
Yeah, just briefly for the Emergency Services Committee, I think Chief Fanaris covered all the points from the last meeting, so I don't need to go over that other than just point out we're still working on the strategic plan. At the last committee meeting, the committee approved the outlines and the parameters of the strategic plan, and then the subcommittee is still working on finalizing it, so I hope to have that come to the board either at the January meeting or at the very latest the February meeting. And the other item is I think that the chief was looking at the wrong year's calendar for our next meeting because the second Tuesday in January is the 12th. Though the third Tuesday, so it's the 19th then. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so it'd be January 19th will be the next meeting of the ESAC at the fire station at 5:30. And I think one thing I just wanted to point out is we did discuss at length the concrete slab replacement, and that has been the top priority for the Emergency Services Committee for years. And I think moving forward with this time, I think we have a plan, and it will work out well, as Dan laid it out, for actually replacing that concrete slab at this point. So.
Thank you. And then for the Finance Advisory Committee, we had two meetings in November and December, and they both covered the same subjects. Number one, the fiscal year 08-09 audit, and number two, the water rate study and increase. The November meeting was a review of the draft. We'd just gotten the draft audit, so we had discussion on that. As I alluded to earlier, before the presentation, we had comments that were taken back by Ms. Haber to our accountants for clarification, which then was presented in the final report. And so I want to thank all the Finance Committee members for participating in that. And the second item, I'm just going to talk briefly, and I'll go over the committee discussion some more when we get to the item later. We reviewed the water rate, the WAC subcommittee water rate study and their presentation. And I want to thank the water subcommittee members and Ms. Faulkner and Mitch Cooney and Mr. Gilmore for all their participation, Richard Marketson, Chuck Sneed, and Dominic Roque. Mr. Roque was there at the November meeting to present the rate study to the Finance Committee members. We had discussions, and that was actually... And I also want to point out in December, thank Director Sennett at the Finance Committee member for leading that. And then any other director reports on attendance at other agency or committee members? Vice President Hilsky.
Yes, I'll answer Leon Golden's question of why the RAC minutes are on the back table. I attended the November meeting of the RAC, and I promised at the last CSD meeting that I would report on what happened at that meeting. Unfortunately, it totally slipped my mind. So I thought the most efficient way to get this done is once I heard about it was just to get the minutes of that meeting and have them available. I think at that meeting, it was a very, very short meeting with a discussion of the groundwater basin in Santa Maria and a discussion of the Napomo water basin. And for the primary purpose, or I guess the primary emphasis of that meeting was a discussion by John Lindsay, meteorologist for PG&E, regarding just what the long-term outlook would be for rainfall totals in San Luis Obispo County because of, and I'm not getting into controversy here, but because of climatic changes, what the impacts of that would be on San Luis Obispo as far as rainwater and supplies in the lakes and reservoirs in the county. And I think that was the primary emphasis of that meeting. So I just wanted to make up for my failure to report. And the purpose of these minutes is it's a complete retelling of what happened at that meeting. I stood in for Director Kelly that meeting because Director Kelly was attending the Plastics in the Ocean event that day. So I was there.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I'm sorry, Director Kelly, there was one more. Of course, how could I forget this report?
No, it's totally easy. And I apologize, I will have a typed up report of our meeting from last Wednesday for our last Water Advisory Committee meeting. I didn't have time to put those that information together that we're putting together. Anyway, so I'm going to give a verbal report of the last Water Resource Advisory Committee. It was on December 2nd. It was a really short meeting, considering how they go. The first topic was the memorandum of order. They are waiting for a draft of the water balance from the parties. No update regarding the rainfall and reservoir. Just a lot of discussion about hopes for this rainy season. There hadn't been any change in the reservoirs at that time. The master water plan update was an update on the tech memos based on the comments that they've received. And additional comments, they will be taking additional comments on the draft master plan in the summer of 2010. So that'll be the next time around for comment and review for any additional, you know, at that point that it'll be available for all review of what's been presented. They'll have updated maps. They'll also be, at that time, identifying any of the deficiencies in the master plan, as well as an analysis of any projects or programs that they want to implement with that water master plan. The next meeting is, they had to cancel the water master plan meeting for December 2nd. It's been rescheduled for January 6th, and it starts at 9 a.m., in the conference room at the library in San Luis Obispo. So that is the next big water master plan discussion. There was also a discussion, and a draft language is going to be attached to the Board of Supervisors regarding some changes in membership of the RAC and the appointing of two new members. And the big next meeting topic that's going to be interesting for anyone interested in land use is the land use and circulation element update discussion. There's a discussion as to whether or not the RAC should form a subcommittee to respond to that. It is a land use issue, but the discussion is should land use planning be based on water resource availability and how that will drive future development. So that's going to be probably on the update in January. And that's it.
Thank you, Director Kelling. Any other reports? Okay, with that, we're going to see if any directors want to remove any items on the consent calendar, items A through K. Any items wishing to be removed by any directors? Ms. Kudar?
Yes, excuse me. I just need to announce that we have a substitution on consent agenda item 5H. Resolution 2009-25, we're deleting one word. We're deleting the
I know that the those lights have been paid for in the past or through a special tax. What's going to happen to the money that we're being paid for the tax but not being used for the lighting? I think that issue needs to be clarified. I only expect you to answer right at this moment, but I think that needs to be put into the hopper. Unless you have an answer at this moment. The other thing, I was very happy to see that the general manager talked about LED lighting. It's my understanding that there are federal funds available for that. I remember reading an article about Ann Arbor, Michigan, which does not quite the same size as our community, and they apparently put in LED lights, and it's an enormous savings. And I would think that given all the pressure that's at work at this moment, PG&E would be happy to come in and help see to it that perhaps not only Cabrillo but the entire community be retrofitted with LED lights as an example to the county Now, I don't know if any of you know that the street lights, that is the tricolor lights in this county, are all LED lights. And that, by the way, is kind of unusual. If you go down to L.A., you'll see that that doesn't happen there. They're using the old lights, which still continue to burn a lot of energy. Also, another question with reference to the money that is taken out of the tax money in Cabrillo. Part of it, as I understand, went for drainage. And from time to time, that used to be sort of lumped together. And I hope that when you deal with my first question, you'll deal with explaining to the community what's going to happen. Maybe the solution would be to have the lights on every other year. LED would be much better.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Gilmore, do you have any... provide a response for
$3,000 in electricity. So we're running at a deficit.
It seemed to me that the deficit would be made up by shutting off the lights and taking money as it's being collected. You'd have to talk to the guy in the brown suit.
Yeah.
Next speaker, please.
John. That is curious. I am Julie Tacker. Is that legal, Mr. Seitz, to recoup the expenditure that way that Mr. Cooney suggests? I'm here with your upper aquifer well watch. Again, this month I'm looking for a thorough report on why the upper aquifer well is not working, not in service, and when can we expect it to be up and running? Some months ago, Margaret suggested that there was clay coming out of the Vista de Oro collection system, and I think we need an update on that, a thorough investigation on what's happening with those pipes. And you spoke about the committee applications, and I'm hoping that they'll also be available on the website. Seems easy enough to be able to download and submit that way. Speaking about the RAC, the countywide master water plan is being updated by Carollo Engineering and some of our favorite consultants. Originally, they had asked for comments on some of the draft work that had been done to be in by October 23rd. And I've been following our water advisory committee agendas, and I don't see a discussion in the committee from Los Osos CSD. A comment or a vetting of what is being presented on the Los Osos Basin. And I don't feel comfortable relying on complete consultant input on that.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, in the holiday spirit, I don't think Joe will cut me off, but two things I forgot earlier, to thank the entertainment, but the entertainment is going to get some special recognition at their local events and through the schools coming up at the beginning of the year. And somebody called in to tell people to mark their calendars for December 11th next year. That's when needs and wishes will be next year. But what I came up to talk about is, did anyone notice in the consumption tables, even though I still have problems with past year consumption tables, but in the consumption tables that were running, compared to last year, we're running about 10 million gallons less than last year through the first 5 months. And then my other question is, we have information through the first 5 months for consumption, but the table doesn't show it for the first 5 months for production. And I was just curious if that just wasn't available yet, those are my only questions. But I hope it's because of conservation and not from some other reason.
Mr. Gilmore and Ms. Faulkner, on the lag on the production, I know it's happened before. We get the production a little bit later than the consumption.
Yes. Can
you
use the
microphone,
please?
Oh, sorry. Okay. What should I do? Sit over here?
Yes.
The lag on the consumption versus production?
Yeah, the production data lags the consumption. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, because they bill every month, and the production is read daily. And so I don't get the I can't do the monthly until the following month. So I don't know what else to say.
Thank you for that explanation.
A chemical residue that comes through, but I don't know if Margaret could address why this poor woman has brown water coming out of her pipes.
Thanks.
Ms. Faulkner, want to take a stab at that? Thank you for your comments.
I'm not sure who the person was, and were they in our district, our water district?
She was in Los Osos, and she was supportive of the county sewer project.
Well, all I know is when our crew did some end-of-line flushing, that was in September, I believe. Sometimes sediment will stir up and rust, but I have no, it has nothing to do with sewer that I know.
Okay.
There's absolutely none.
Thank you, Ms. Faulkner.
Sure.
Next speaker, please. And this will be the last speaker. Mr. Barrow.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year. My name is Al Barrow. I live here in Los Osos, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. And I want to talk a little bit about the water supply and what's going on with the testing. I saw a drilling rig over here at the end of Palisades last week, and Spencer Harris was over there. He's a consultant for the CSD, but I think he was doing some work that was going to be reported to the ISJ. Regarding the saltwater content. And so I asked him, I said, well, how much water are you pumping from the library well across the street? He says, well, it's going 750 gallons a minute. That's full bore. That's about half the water supply for Los Osos, I believe, for the CSD customers. And then I asked him, I said, well, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking samples to see how much salt is in this. And I said, well, have you got a hatch kit, field test? He said, no, we're going to take this down to the lab and test it. He says, but I think we got potable water from, I think he said, Pecho. And that sort of kind of conflicts with what's been reported. So I think I would like to know if the CSD is paying for that study, if they're getting the information, if you're going to be getting the reports on the amount of chlorides in the water, which is an indicator of seawater intrusion. A full seawater is about 35,000 parts per million, and drinking water, you want to keep it.
And the report is still in testing, the report is still in progress. After the completion of the report, of course, it'll be made public. I don't have an exact time frame, and I think February-ish, possibly, Mr. Seitz.
That's the target date, is late February, middle to late February, to have a published report.
Thank you for your comments. And with that, we'll bring it, close it, public comment, bring it back to the board.
Yep. Me? I'd like to make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
And would you amend the Motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports.
Yes, and as corrected by Ann.
Agreed. I'll second.
A roll call, Ms.
Vice President Ohilski?
Aye.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes.
Could I just for a moment, I know that we might have should have mentioned this in the beginning, but Director Sassina is not here because he's feeling ill this evening. So for those of you that are wondering where he is, that's where he is.
Okay, next item is item A, water rate structure revision and implementation of new water rates. And with that, I'll turn over to Mr. Gilmore to present this item.
Thank you, President Sparks. This item before you tonight is the culmination of a lot of work, which we'll get into right away. A little bit of background as to how this all came about. In about, I think it was September of 2008, FCS consultants were hired to do a study of the water rate structure.
Mr. Gilmore, hang on a second. If we could have it quiet as he's going through the report so we can all hear. Thank you.
Thank you. They prepared a report, and which was dated February of 2009. Also, the Water Advisory Committee, a subcommittee from that committee was established to study the issue, and the subcommittee developed a report recommended rate structure, and that report is dated October of 2009. Going back to the FCS report, it had a number of recommendations. Primarily, one of the primary purposes was to strengthen the district's financial formally across the board. Also, an alternative to that would be to establish a fixed base charge that varies by meter size. In other words, the larger your meter, the larger your fixed charge would be for each billing cycle. The funny thing about their recommendation was, it struck me as being funny, is that the number of units of water included in the fixed charge also varied by meter charge. So you might have, say, somebody with a 1-inch meter and one rate would pay for, similar to the structure now where you have a 5/8-inch meter, your 3401 pays for your first 10, or includes your first 10 units of water. With this FCS recommended structure, it would have included sometimes hundreds of units of consumption for the larger meters as being included or as being free as a part of that fixed charge. And it seemed, like I said, it seemed unusual. And also, the unit prices for water are the same in corresponding tiers, but the size of the block, the number of units within each block, varies with meter size. Another way of saying what I just said. The fixed charge that includes a number of units of water really doesn't encourage conservation if you have up to several hundred units of water included in your fixed rate charge, your fixed charge, bi-monthly fixed charge, then it doesn't really encourage conservation. And when we took a look at how the fixed charge based on meter size actually played out, it created some pretty substantial inequities in the charges for water. In some cases, a person using 50 units might pay one amount, and another person with a different size meter using the same amount of water would have paid an entirely different amount. And that sort of raised some red flags there. Tier sizes that vary according to meter size just made both of those issues worse. Now, the subcommittee, the initial recommendation was to include a bi-monthly fixed charge that also varied by meter size, but it's different in the sense that it didn't include any water to be consumed as part of that charge. So their recommendation was to start charging for the very first unit of water in addition to the meter charge. And as pointed out earlier, varying that, making it a meter charge rather than just a fixed charge, a uniform fixed charge regardless of meter size, created some inequities that we had some problems. And also didn't recognize water usage patterns. which is important to consider when you're first putting in a water meter, but on an ongoing basis, it can create some inequities. The example that comes to mind is, say, like a laundromat, which has a water use pattern that's fairly consistent throughout the day, as opposed to, well, say a school where, you know, the bell rings, it's recess, everyone runs to the bathroom, and they get a huge peak. There are some businesses or some uses that might need to take all their water all at once in a short period of time, whereas other people can take that water over a longer period of time. They might be using the same amount of water in the long run, so it didn't seem right to penalize somebody that needed to take it all at once. And so that was another consideration that we looked at. And then in the big picture also, just there's very relatively few meters that are different than a 5/8 inch meter in the district. I think we have less than 21 inch meters. We thought we had 4 2-inch meters. Come to find out, a couple of those are probably 1-inch meters also. And there's only 1 4-inch meter. So really just a handful of meters that are out of the 2,750 meters that we have in the district. We're really talking about a very small number. So the Water Rate Subcommittee came up with the additional recommendations to retain that fixed charge, and the benefits of that is that it does address rate stabilization. Even as consumption may drop off due to conservation, having a fixed charge does address rate stabilization. Charging for each unit of water, beginning with the very first unit, encourages everyone to conserve. And another recommendation by the subcommittee was that the budget be amended to include $30,000 in seed money to expand and develop a good water conservation program for the district. Their recommendation also included creating a special tier for the district's large irrigation accounts. The primary reason is that have considered drilling their own wells for irrigation, since they're the district's largest accounts that kind of caught our attention. So what it all boils down to, what we've come up with, is a recommended rate structure that is a minimum charge of $35 for all accounts, and really there's not a whole lot of magic into determining that $35 number, except that the minimum charge previously was $34.01, and this is a number just that the next tier goes up to $4. And then anybody who's using 21 to 500 units of water is going to be paying $5.50 per unit. And then you'll see there the last tier is a special tier that would apply only to the school district, since they are the only ones in that category of using over 500 units. And actually, looking back at the 2008 consumption data, there were only 12 bills that reflected consumption over 500, and the assumption was that those 12 bills were the two largest school district irrigation accounts, and then the 6 bimonthly billings that occurred for each of those accounts. This is what it looks like when you put it on a graph and make a nice picture out of it. It was really not super clear to me initially when I jumped into this, how it all came together and what was affected by what when we would play with the numbers a little bit. You can see the red line there is the old rate structure. It's flat in the lower left corner. That's because for the first 10 units, anyone using anything in that range would pay the minimum $34 charge, $34.01. And then beginning with the 10th unit of water, it starts to go up. Turns out that on this type of a graph, the slope of the line is dictated by the amount of the per unit price for the water, and then the green line is what's being proposed to you tonight. You can see that they match fairly closely, and the histogram, the bar chart that you see behind the two lines, that's an indication of how many bills actually occur for each of those consumption levels. So you see the very top of the histogram that peaks out at 700 units. That corresponds with at 700 bills. Actually, 700 bills in the district are being billed for about 15 to 16 units of water. So just kind of going over the rationale behind the recommended rate structure, the fixed cost of $35 per customer does a number of things. One, it recognizes the benefits of a public water system that's shared by all. Just having the ability to connect to a water system is a benefit that everybody shares, regardless of how much water is consumed and regardless of what size meter you have. It also recognizes that certain capital projects benefit everyone. There's a new water tank proposed in the district, water rate subcommittee. Also, one of the reasons we got to this point, or the justification for the rate structure before you, is fairness. And because there's no more free water, because we're beginning to charge for the very first unit of water, we set the unit price for the water at a fairly low level. Recognizes that there are people out there who are already doing a lot to conserve, and it also encourages conservation, really more from maybe a psychological standpoint, when you consider $1.25 for the first per unit for the first five units and $2.25 after that. The average price for the first 10 units of water is $1.80. And then this, having the low cost for the first few units of water also helps to reduce the impact to those with the highest percentage increase, which happens to turn out to be around 9 or 10 units of water. And then, as I pointed out before, the proposed structure actually comes very close to mimicking the old structure. The tiered rates, as we've discussed, encourages water conservation at all levels. It recognizes the impact of the larger water users, and the special rate that we created for the school district recognizes the impacts that they endured with the 2007 rate increase, which I kind of blew the surprise on this slide. It's mentioning how the special school district tier is affected, and again, it affects only the largest irrigation accounts, relatively few bills that we receive every year. This chart I prepared just to kind of give people an indication and give the board an indication of how the water bill will be affected at various consumption levels. You can see that for those accounts that don't use any water during a billing cycle, the old rate was $34.01, the new rate would be $35. You know, 99 cents more for those folks. At about five units of consumption, you can see the bill goes up by about 21%. In dollars, that's $7.24. And then, as I mentioned, probably the biggest hit, but at least by a percentage basis, is right around 9 and 10 units of water being billed. And still, that represents a financial hit of $15.05. Or $7.50 a month, and then on up to the 5 to 20 range. So, again, $7.50 a month for people using water around 10 units. That's only $1.25 for the first five units, and at 10 units, the combined cost for that water still ends up being less than a penny a gallon. We believe that the recommended water rates are fair. The fixed charge of $35 recognizes the community-wide benefits and challenges facing the district. Those using the least water also pay the lowest per unit rate. It's important to note that the recommended water rate structure is adequate, sufficient to meet the revenue goal established by the FCS report and the water rate subcommittee. And it also begins to establish operating capital and rate stabilization reserves, which will be achieved over time. The new proposed rate structure also encourages conservation, since customers are going to be accountable beginning with the very first unit of water delivered. And the tiered structure ensures that the highest users are paying the highest per unit rates for their water. And while it's not the simplest rate structure, it does avoid some of the complexities associated with the structures based on meter size, and again, fairly closely parallels the existing rate structure. I want to take this opportunity to recognize the Water Rate Subcommittee and show some appreciation for those individuals who volunteered their time to study this issue and really put out a lot of thought and effort and energy and brought some real rationale to the process. Dominic Rock was the subcommittee chair. He's not here tonight, but I do see Chuck Sneed and Richard Margetson in the audience, and I wanted to just offer them special thanks. So where do we go from here? Tonight's recommendation is that by motion, you would tentatively approve the proposed rate structure, including the proposed new water rates, and direct staff to provide appropriate notice to the Los Osos Community Service District property owners and water customers in compliance with Proposition 218. Once tentatively approved by the board, staff will gather the information needed to provide the proper notice, set the date of the protest hearing, and mail out the notices. It's the mailing out of the notices, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I believe it's the mailing out of the notices that initiates the 45-day protest period.
It does. When you do put a CPI clause on your utility rates, it's only good for 5 years. Then it sunsets, and the customers will get notice prior to the implementation of each CPI increase. So that was recommended in the rate structure. And if you do approve the tentative rate structure, staff wanted to make sure that you understood that it would include an annual CPI. Unless I'm wrong.
No, that was a recommendation.
And yeah, the annual CPI. Right, right. That's exactly what I'm trying to say is that CPI clauses aren't the formula that sets the increased rate is automatic, but adoption of the actual increase itself is discretionary.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmer and Mr. Seitz. Any questions from the board? Director Sennett.
So I'd like to thank the subcommittee members and also your work and interest in this. It's a very complete analysis, and I appreciate your work, too.
Thank you.
I'd like to know if we can have, I think public information is really vital in this. They need to know exactly how it will impact them to make a good choice. And I was wondering if our billing department could approximate or calculate what their under this tentative rate increase, what their future bill would look like, and maybe additional information on how much they would have to reduce their bill to get into a lower rate structure, and what they could realize by conserving. Would that be something that you would envision?
Unless I misunderstand your question, that's shown in the chart here for the units billed. People could look at their bill and determine the number of units of water they're using, and this will show the amount of the old bill, what they would have paid under the old structure versus the new structure.
I was just wondering if you could do that calculation for them, and you know, so they wouldn't have to. I don't know, and there might be some confusion before they get the 218 notice, and you know, they're receiving this might be incomplete.
I just make a quick comment in response to that. A chart, either that chart or one very similar, would be included in the notice. And so that what we do try to do is provide the rate customer paying 41.25, so that they can they take the opportunity to pull their old bills, they could, or their check stubs, they could figure out where how the rate increase would impact them.
And I might just add too, it wasn't in my presentation, but to some degree it's in the report here, that I looked at water rates around the county, not everywhere, but I did look at a few. San Luis Obispo would charge about $47 for about 10 units of water. You know, you can see that's fairly close to the $53 shown in the chart here. Morro Bay would charge around $50, and incidentally, these neither of these purveyors charge a base fee, a minimum charge, but the very first unit of water would cost $4.69 in San Luis Obispo and $5.56 in Morro Bay. And Golden State is a different political structure. They, under the Public Utilities Commission, We do get copies of their notices for their rate increases, and their most recent one that got sent up to the Public Utilities Commission would set their rate at about, I think it was $53.23 for 10 units of usage. So we're basically right there with Golden State under the proposed structure.
Mr. Gilmer, could we in the mailing, you know, put, say, a series of, like, frequently asked questions, like, you know, why is the district increasing it? When will it be effect? You know, how will my bill? And then you could refer to the table. Maybe just, like, exactly. 7, 8, 9 of them.
That's how the
common questions you would get.
Yeah, that's how the Prop 218 notices are structured, and I'll be working with district council to provide that information.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take public comment on this item. And before we do, I just wanted to, again, go over the Finance Committee meetings. In November, Dominic Roque presented an overview of the water rate study, and we had a lot of discussion there on that you see Mr. Gilmore has finalized in terms of that slope of that curve and what's the proper slope, you know, were we hitting lower users too much? Were we hitting higher users too much? And then the other question again is, you know, how do we treat the school district? That's been a concern of mine was initially with the lower last tier. With that, we'll go ahead and take public comment. And again, I want to thank the Water Subcommittee, the Water Advisory Committee, and the Finance Committee members for all reviewing this. We've had, all told, about 5 reviews.
Lindy Owen, I just wanted to thank everybody that worked on it. I think they did a pretty darn good job. And I had just a couple of odd questions. One, the fire department takes water from Golden State, and I was wondering, would it be less expensive for them to come over to the water department and fill up the trucks as far as the higher volume that they use, and if that shouldn't be something we propose? And then another question was, multi-units have one, is there any way that is ever broken down to perhaps like a 6-plex that doesn't have separate meters? There's no distinguishing between those situations, right?
Right.
Because it kind of seems a little unfair in that situation when you've got 6 different individual apartments and their rate goes into high volume. And I don't know if that could be addressed or should be addressed, but I thought I'd throw that out.
Thank you for your comments. First question on, can Golden State fill up at the CSD tap?
You know, I'm not sure how what they're using the water for, what they're filling trucks for. If it's for fighting fires, I'm not sure if we charge for that water. I don't know if it goes through a hydrant meter or if they just... I don't think they're charged for that. If it's in the course of fighting fires, they can take water from any hydrant, and it's unmetered, which is pretty typical for that purpose. Yeah.
And the second question on the multi-units?
Yeah, the offsetting effect, you might have 6 units on 1 meter and puts them in a higher use category, but keep in mind they're only paying 1 fixed charge for that 1 meter, so there's a little bit of an offsetting effect there. Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmer. Next speaker.
Hi again, I'm Julie Tacker. I did want to encourage you to be very explicit in how the 218 protest works. I think the public may confuse it with the other 218 thing that we do around here. Again, kind of the Q&A kind of thing, how does this compare with other communities, I think is important for that without having to then raise the, it doesn't. That's what I was afraid of. And, you know, we're all looking at the ISJ for some recommendations on groundwater management so that we cease the seawater intrusion. It is not realistic to expect that new development is going to step in and pay for all of that. Number one, new development is not coming anytime soon, and I think we all recognize that with the constraints on the wastewater project and the fact that there's no habitat conservation plan, there's no general plan amendment to incorporate for new development. So, you know, the white knight of new development paying for this is not there, and these recommendations that are going to come from these studies are going to have a price tag associated with them, and then we, the Los Osos CSD Water District customers, will pay some almost 40% of that through our share of the ISJ. So I see some real expenses coming. Another one was just that infrastructure that we didn't get approved for in the original IBANC. There was another $3 million worth of stuff that the district wanted to do. And then the community, or the operational habitat conservation plan for what the district does is going to be expensive. And yes, you have set aside some monies in this last budget cycle, but it's really a drop in the bucket, to use the cliches that we use when we talk about water. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. And next speaker, please.
I was Richard Margetson. I was going to start out that I don't even recognize this, but that wouldn't be funny. First, I'm going to address what Julie said. You know, and she did say that she didn't attend the committee meetings. So maybe if she had, I wouldn't have had to address this. Because I don't want the misperception out there. And maybe after I'm done, the general manager could put up the slide again of what the increase is going to be used for. We're accelerating our capital reserve accumulation. We're instrumental also in coming up with this recommendation. But one thing that I didn't see in the report and I didn't hear it mentioned, we talked, Dan, about putting in some disincentive for the school district not to go hog wild after they hit the 350 per unit of, you know, when they hit us, you know, if their consumption goes up, we want to have some threshold where then, okay, then you get penalized. And is that something we can't do? Have you talked to Mr. Seitz about it? Or where are we with that? Because it was part of the committee discussion, and it was part of the, wasn't it finance, Joe? We talked about that also, and finance. So if we could just have, other than that, everything else was pretty much as.
Yeah, Mr. Gilmer, and that was at the last finance meeting we talked about.
Yeah, responding to Mr. Margetson's comments, the school, keep in mind, the only bills that would have fallen in that special tier were the highest 12 bills. That's two accounts for a year, six bimonthly billings for each of the accounts. Keep in mind, I should probably go to the table. I tried to put up the other slide, but here you can see that even the school district on their highest irrigation account, they're paying the same rates as everyone else up until they get to that 500 unit level, and it's for that only that water in addition to the 500 units. And I think this is the point of your comment, is once they get to 500 units, whew, then it's cheap, we can go crazy. I did have a conversation with Brad Parker from the school district, who, by the way, is retiring, and I hope I look forward to meeting the new guy and working with him. But I was relieved to find out that the school district is using, whether it's automatic or manual, they are using a weather-based system for determining how much water. They are conscious of their application rates, and they have conducted their own audits, and they are retrofitted with low-flow fixtures. So I was relieved to find out that the school district is doing all the right things in that regard. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that the other school district accounts don't come anywhere near that 500 unit level, so they're basically in the same boat as everyone else. That, and you know, there's a number of ways of paying for capital projects. You can build up a reserve so that it's sufficient to just
outright pay for the construction, or you can use that money and your overall revenues to pay a debt service, like in the case of the iBank projects. And, it's actually the iBank is a wonderful way of getting a lot of work done all at once, but doing it the other way by building up reserves sometimes takes a little more time.
Yeah, Mr. Gilmer, thanks. And one of the things we talked about, the Finance Committee member, and I know I mentioned Woods, I'd like to see, before we're through this, that projected five-year, like you have this, I love the graphical presentations. We have that projected build-up, and then we go 2 years down the line, we start this in July, and then 2 years down the line, we can compare and see how we're doing. And if we establish that now, we have that data for...
Definitely tracking the effects of this change will be important. Right. Yeah.
Thanks. Next speaker, please.
By the way, it's important to note on this chart, it only goes up to 121 units of consumption. If you can imagine, the 500, the special rate structure is not even shown on here. And some of the district, I think the largest district, school district water account, some of those bills are on the order of 3,000 units of water. So it's, my computer screen's not that big to show that much information.
Next speaker, please.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. I think most of the work was done here by the Water Committee, and I want to take my Enigma Pa Ascender hat off to you. This is from Nepal. That's what they wear up there to stay warm. And I just couldn't resist buying it. It's just such a gorgeous little hat. So much fun. So anyway, it's also nice to sleep in. If you leave the windows open, you like to breathe fresh air. But I think the Water Committee did a really good job, and I think it made your work a lot easier. And so I think overall it looks pretty like a really good thing. I'm a low-income housing advocate, so I like the idea that you can get a water bill for $25 a month and get about in the neighborhood of 3,500 gallons, which works out to about, you know, more than you need, actually. I mean, it's if you do the 50 gallons per person, you don't need that much water if you have a 2.2 average residency here, just looking at the averages. But you know, like Maria Kelly points out, there are some impact to larger families and households, you know, toilets and all the rest of it. So the idea there is that you conserve the basin water supply because you're using the nitrate water that you can't use if it's 20 milligrams per liter. And I think they have some wells over in that area. I don't know. There's three different schools, so that might be a way of softening the cost to the schools who are under a lot of pressure right now financially. So anyway, that's pretty much it. Oh, one other quick thing. I'll be talking in public comment about the impact of leaking raw sewage in our drinking water supply. Since we are planning on switching 1,200 acre feet of drawdown from the lower aquifer to stop seawater intrusion, then the upper aquifer is going to have to supply that. So we can't afford to have leaking sewage pipes in our drinking water aquifer. And that's what's going to happen if we get a gravity sewer. And I'll talk more about that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Director Sennett?
Well, I'd like to voice my support for the proposed increases. I think we should have more illustration on how, you know, clarifying the capitalization, the stabilization funds, and actually, you know, draw some projections for that and show, you know, the benefits that the rate structure will provide. And other than that, I'm very pleased.
Vice President Hilsky.
Yes, I'd just like to echo Steve's comments. I think there's been a lot of work done by the subcommittee and by the Finance Advisory Committee and Water Advisory Committee, and some modifications made by Dan since he came on as general manager that I think are very, very helpful. So I think that what we have here is a very, very good work product, and I'd like to thank everybody for the work they've done on it, and I'm going to support it also.
Director Kelly.
I also am very appreciative, and I appreciate the board's focus on the consistency of setting policy at the beginning of the year, establishing, you know, our reserve policies, and then proactively addressing the fact that part of, you know, balancing our budget and setting our reserve required us to take a stance and an approach on the water rate increase. And it is minimal, and it does stabilize some of our issues that have, you know, it brings us...
I understand why we're doing this and why it's important and why we feel it's necessary, because no one certainly wants to see a rate increase unless you absolutely have to do it. And I think this is a prudent one.
I also wanted to add really quickly, not only are we setting, we're actually going to fund reserves that we've established, we're also going to be able to take a position and address the water water conservation program that the Water Advisory Committee is now working on developing and helping implement. So it's pretty exciting. So thank you.
With that, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the water rate structure revision, including the new water rates, and direct staff to provide the appropriate notice pursuant to the requirements and procedures of Proposition 218 with the appropriate CPI clause.
I'll second.
Ms. Cooter?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
And with that, we have our second portion of general public comment. Is there anyone here that did not speak earlier? And everybody, please get behind the first speaker, which is Mr. Barrow, and please proceed.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. I have a letter I'm reading here from Dina.
Nobody can hear you.
May I start my time over?
Yeah, go ahead.
To whom it may concern, this is dated October 15th, 2009, so it's fairly recent. It's from Robert Picknage, Chief Technical Officer. He's an engineer from Adenas Group. And this is regarding the estimated cost of a decentralized wastewater system for Los Osos Wastewater Project. And he covers some other issues, which I'm more concerned about at the moment. And he's reviewed this and so on. I'll just skip that part. But he goes down and he says, further, the environmental impact of the gravity collection system, conventional gravity collection system on the groundwater in the basin, has been ignored in the engineering studies. All gravity collection systems develop leaks and breaks as the system ages. A study of nearby communities will show a continuous exfiltration of raw sewage into the groundwater. Most communities collect less than 50% of the sewage generated. The other 50% or more leaks directly into the groundwater and streams along the and very expensive to fix. I would challenge the designers proposing the conventional gravity system to identify a model system at least 10 years old that is performing to the standards they suggest in this conventional gravity system will perform. Low-pressure, watertight systems have a history of meeting the desired standards, and many systems can demonstrate this capability. In closing, he says, if more information is desired, I'd be happy to discuss and provide additional information. Well, what's important and germane about this is that you've been talking about water and water supply, level 3 severity, and here you are, the county's planning a 50-mile grid on top of our upper aquifer, which is a new target for the water source, and it's going to leak 50% of the water, 50% of the sewage, raw sewage. Untreated sewage has all kinds of health hazards. It will pollute the wetlands around the bay, and it will continue to degrade the bay and our water supply in a way that we just are not prepared for. We have studies from Modesto who show they did a 20-year cleanup on their pollution in their groundwater aquifer when it got polluted. It's really expensive to clean it up. And the other factor is, let me just finish a sentence. If you try to treat that water, you have to go to reverse osmosis and other very expensive things. So something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, with that, we're going to go ahead and have close the regular meeting. We will be re-adjourning for the closed session. And so the next meeting will be on Thursday, January 7th for your information. And then closing board comments. Any directors have any closing board comments? Director Sennett?
I'd just like to say goodnight and in closing, wish everybody a happy holiday and a happy new year when we revisit you again. Thank you.
Vice President Olszewski?
Yeah, I did have one thing. I wanted to second Director Sennett's comments again about having a happy holiday. I failed to thank staff earlier, so I'd like to do that right now. I was in discussions with the Planning Commissioner Ann Wyatt about water conservation information being distributed to the water users, and she sent me an email about what she was proposing to do in Cayucas and Cambria and Los Osos. And because of our new bill dealing with a unit, which is 748 gallons, I know, but it's kind of a difficult change to make. So I'd like to thank staff for adding that to the bills.
Director Kelly? I have a few comments for closing. Once again, echo Vice President Olszewski. I think tonight we had virtually our entire staff here via the water crew and our administrative crew, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate we have still have staff here, Ms. Faulkner, Ms. Havert, Sandy, Jan was here, all the crew, including Jocko, who's retiring, and our ex-general manager, Mitch Cooney, came again. We appreciate your interest in the district very much, as well as our new staff. And want to thank all the chamber. We talked about the Maxine Lewis fundraiser, the parade. Want to thank the chamber for organizing the parade. It's too bad it didn't go on, but there were floats that were decorated. The Kiwanis did have their breakfast, and they had a tent so that you could eat your breakfast dry. So I want to express the appreciation for that. And again, that address for making donations is the Maxine Lewis Shelter, care of P.O. Box 6721 Los Osos 93412. Also, Dan and I will be presenting a resolution of to support to congratulating Grover Beach. I think of it as still Grover City or Groover City on their 50th anniversary on Monday night. And, again, there are comments about, I think, directed towards board members. The public is free, and we do welcome all comments, including criticism. And again, for the board members, board members should express, their opinions. We are the representatives of the district, all the district, and certainly, I think we have a right and should express our opinions and what we feel. And I know we have disagreement, but I think you should also expect from the board to not say defend ourselves, but to certainly state our justifications for our decisions. And with that, we're going to go ahead and bring to the closed session.